Well, good morning, dear brothers and sisters. It's a pleasure to be with you. My name is Jason. I'm one of the ministers here at St. John's. I'm going to be leading us in our time together in God's Word. If you want to leave your Bibles open there at John chapter 1, we're going to be looking at that together. The two things you're going to need as we look at God's Word together is an open Bible there at John chapter 1. The second will be this outline. You should have received a copy when you walked in. I'll be following this pretty closely and it'll help you to keep up and know when I'm almost finished. I'm going to pray that God would help us to understand His Word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you have caused all the holy scriptures to be written for our learning. And so we ask now, would you help us to hear them, to read them, to mark them, learn them, and inwardly digest them so that we might be encouraged and supported by your holy word and that we might embrace and always hold fast the joyful hope of everlasting life which you've given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it is that time of the year again. Can you feel it in the air? Christmas trees are starting to go up. Houses are adorned with flashing lights. Much to my grief, Michael Bublé and Mariah Carey are on an endless loop in every Westfields across the country. And it is all pointing to one thing, that Christmas is just around the corner. Now, I'm not sure how you might be feeling about that. You know, for many of us, Christmas ends up being quite a bit of a refreshing break. We get a bit of time off work. We get to enjoy celebrations and parties with friends. There are many family reunions. Christmas can be one of the highlights of the year for many of us. But for others of us, Christmas can be distressingly difficult. It can be a busy and stressful time trying to get all of the work done that you need to get done before finishing off for the year. It can be a bit of a lonely and miserable time if we're away from family and friends. And for those who've experienced loss, sometimes it's just a reminder of the joy we used to feel when we celebrated Christmas with those who we now no longer have with us. Now, can I say, whatever your experience, whatever your usual experience of Christmas, here at St. John's, we are convinced that this really is a special time of the year. And in fact, that's why we're spending 4 weeks together in order to prepare our hearts for Christmas. If you were here with us last week, you'd know that we started a new sermon series where we are looking at the same passage. We looked at it last week. We're looking at it today. And we're going to continue to look at it for the next 2 weeks where we're looking at this passage, John chapter 1, so that we might remember the wonder and the glory of God becoming man for us. Now, of course, the aim for this sermon series for us is so that every single person sitting here, whether you find Christmas joyful or you find it really difficult, the aim of this is that every single one of us here would have our hearts stirred and our hearts prepared to make room for Jesus. Like the famous Christmas carol says, let every heart prepare him room. And the idea is that we would be prepared not just for the baby Jesus that so many of us remember during this time of the year at Christmas, but actually we want to prepare our hearts for the incredible vision that John gives us of a Jesus that totally blows our minds. And so actually that's my goal for us today. It's a reasonably small one, to blow our minds that we might stand in awe and wonder at the Word become flesh. Now, friends, if you were here with us last week, you'd know that we began this series, David Old began this series for us, by helping us to see how Jesus is the full and perfect revelation of God. If you want to know God completely, then Jesus is actually the only place you can go. that there is nowhere else you can know God apart from Jesus. Now, this week, today, what we're going to see is how this same Word, the Eternal Son, how He is the one through whom everything we see comes into existence. You see, He's not just the reason for the season, but He's actually the reason and purpose behind everything. And so we're going to see this in two ways as we look at this passage together. We're going to see that Jesus, the Word, become flesh. He shows His power in two incredible ways. Firstly, we're going to see His power in creation, that Jesus makes everything from nothing. And then secondly, we're going to see His power in new creation, that Jesus makes children for God out of those who were once His enemies. All right, those are the two things we're going to see together today, everything from nothing and children from enemies. Friends, if you've got your Bibles open, would you turn with me to John chapter 1? And we're at point one now, everything from nothing. Now, friends, John opens up his biography of the life of Jesus with these iconic verses. In the beginning was the Word. You see, here is the origin story of the greatest hero the world has ever seen. But the interesting thing here about John chapter 1 is that the origin story, it doesn't begin with the birth of our hero, like most origin stories do. Instead, it actually begins with him existing before there was anything else. You see, before the great expanse of the universe existed, there was God. He existed independent of all matter and all time. He simply was, and then he continues forever. And yet the glorious intricacy of the way that John speaks of who God is here means that God was actually never alone. Read with me, friends, from John chapter 1, John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You see, even though there was nothing but God in existence, the incredible picture that John paints for us, he is of the triune God, Father, Son, and even though he's not explicitly mentioned here, the Holy Spirit is there as well, and they are all in perfect, loving relationship with each other. You see, there is no need, no deficiency, no want in this relationship within the Godhead. They are perfect in unity and glory. And in fact, it's out of the abundance of that loving relationship between God that their love spills over into the creation of the world. And so listen to the way John describes it in verse 3. Verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, friends, did you notice there who was responsible for creation? Who is the he that John says he created the world? Well, it's the very same Word who is there with God since eternity past. The Word who would become flesh in the person of Jesus. He is the one through whom all existence comes into being. Jesus is the one who makes everything from nothing. Now, friends, for some of you, this might be a little bit of a new concept. Because we're not used to the idea of Jesus being the one who created the world. I mean, maybe we get that Jesus is God and we understand that he's the second person of the Trinity. Somehow that makes sense. But we've never really considered that he was the one who created everything. And yet, can you see the way John describes it there in verse 3? He actually seems to say it in kind of two polar opposite kind of ways to make sure that we get this. You see, firstly, he says that all things were made through him. You see, everything you see around you, no matter how complex and majestic, it is all made by Jesus. And then the second way that John says it there, you can see it. There is nothing that exists in all of history that was not made through Jesus. Brothers and sisters, does this not just blow your mind? I mean, doesn't this just completely destroy the puny kind of preconceived ideas of Jesus that we often come to the Bible with? That he's just some social revolutionary, some great moral teacher, some miracle worker? No, John will not let us get away with such puny ideas of Jesus, because everything here that exists is here because of Jesus. You see, friends, ancient Near Eastern kind of stories about creation often kind of tell about the gods creating the world. But what's really fascinating is none of them create the world out of nothing. They kind of take things, matter that already exists, and they kind of shape it and form it and then turn it into things, into humanity or the world. Can you see that that is not what John is describing here? Jesus doesn't shape and form the world out of things that already exist. No, literally, in one moment, there is nothing but God. And then in the next, there's a snap and the universe exists. Jesus is the way through which literally nothing becomes something. And so again, friends, can you see that the one that John describes here is no mere human being? He is the eternal creator who is responsible for everything we see around us. Now, friends, I want us to think about this, just to reflect and just see how incredible this really is. Right? Many of us have traveled on planes before. Imagine you're on a plane right now. You're at the window seat as the plane takes off and you kind of rise above the clouds and you look out the window and you see that endless expanse of sky. Or maybe if you're a hiker, imagine you're in the mountains and you look up in the night sky and you see that amazing panorama of stars above your head. You know, I was reading this week that astronomers say that in a perfect kind of night, you can see something like 2,500 stars in the sky. And we know actually that there are billions of stars in our galaxy. And our galaxy is one of billions of galaxies out there. The vast expanse of our universe, it's almost too much for us to comprehend. And John's breathtaking message to us is this, that Jesus is the one responsible for creating it all. That the expanse of the universe, the beauty of our world, your own life, and the life of everyone you love, it all comes from Him. Him who has no beginning and no end. Him who was born into the world to die for you. I mean, isn't that just absolutely amazing? How can you not stand in awe of a God like this? Well, friends, as John keeps going, he moves on now from Jesus' role in creating the present world to then Jesus' role in creating a new world, a new people of God. And so we're at point two now in your outlines, children from enemies. If you've got your Bibles open there, would you turn with me to verse 10, John chapter 1, verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. It's incredible, isn't it, friends? I mean, it's almost horrifying and yet somewhat ironic. the greatest tragedy and the greatest injustice of the universe is that the creator of all things, the Word become flesh, is rejected by the very world that he made. And worse yet, John seems to stress the fact that it's not just the world out there, it's not just the Gentiles who are ignorant about these things, the Gentiles who never had the prophets who told them that the Messiah was coming, but the Jewish people, the ones whom God had chosen, the ones who knew that God was coming into the world to fix the mess of the world, they did not accept him. I mean, if there was anyone who should have expected and then accepted Jesus, surely it was them. But no. John tells us the light has come into the world, and yet people loved the darkness, and so they chose to extinguish the light. Brothers and sisters, can you start to see how these verses show the very heart of human sin? Humanity rejecting the God who made us. We, puny creatures of dust, thinking that we have any right to refuse our glorious Creator. I mean, it's scandalous. It's repulsive. One theologian from America who's now gone to be with the Lord, he calls it cosmic treason. And because of this, all humanity become strangers and enemies of the Creator who made us. And yet John tells us something extraordinary here, friends. John says that this is not God's final word for all of humanity. Now, would you turn with me to verse 12? Verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, brothers and sisters, do you see the beauty of these verses? You see, despite the fact that what human beings deserve is death and judgment, the same Word who created us, the same Word whom we rejected, he now makes a way out for us. You see, those who do receive Jesus, those whom the Father calls to the Son, those whom the Father gives to the Son, they receive the privilege of being made a new creation. Now, friends, I think there's something quite remarkable going on in these verses, but the problem is sometimes our English translations don't quite capture some of the things that I think the biblical authors want us to see. Now, don't get me wrong, I think 99.9% of the times our English translations are brilliant and they capture everything, but just occasionally I think they miss something, and I think that's happened here. You see, friends, the same verb that gets used in verse 3 for made, so all things were made through him in verse 3, that verb gets used again in verse 12, except the ESV translates it as become. So what you could do, you could translate the end of verse 12 like this. He gave the right to be made children of God. All right, so verse 3, all things were made through him. And then the end of verse 12, he gave the right to be made children of God. Now, the reason why I stress this, friends, and the reason why I think this is important, because I actually think it shows that there are two acts of creation going on in these opening verses of John. You see, you've got the creation of all things there in verse 3, which is, I think, a mirror of Genesis 1, where God creates all things from nothing. But then you've got the creation of children of God in verse 12. You see, there's an act of creation on one hand, and then there's an act of new creation on the other. There is a new humanity being made here with Jesus at the center. You see, the same one who creates all things from nothing, this time he creates children of God from strangers and from enemies. Brothers and sisters, John is making it so clear to us. He wants us to marvel at the power and the glory of Jesus. That he's not just the author of life and everything we see around us. No, he is the very one who is creating a new world and a new humanity. He is the one who stands at the very center of the Father's plans for the universe. And he is the one who is born and who dies to accomplish that awesome plan. A plan of a new world free from sin and darkness. A world where Jesus is at the center and we live with him perfectly in unity. Brothers and sisters, how can you not stand in awe at a God like this? Well, friends, as we finish up, I want us to reflect a little bit more now on what these opening verses in John's Gospel, what these should invoke in us, what this should do to us as we consider our Lord Jesus. Now, as our series title kind of suggests, the point of these verses is to help us come and adore Jesus. You see, when you meet someone as incredible and as glorious as Jesus, the only reasonable response is to adore him, to hand over your life to him. But what I want us to do is to reflect on two things about what that actually means to adore him. And so you'll see it on the back of your outlines. It's my 2 points of what it actually means for us to adore him. And the first is this. Adoration is part of what it means to be a Christian. All right? Adoration is part of what it means to be a Christian. You see, friends, all throughout these verses, John makes it so clear that Jesus is the one who is the creator of all things. And so what do we and all creation owe to our Creator? Well, let me read to you from Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation, another book written by the Apostle John. Revelation 4, 11, it says this. Worthy are you, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Friends, did you catch what was said there? What does creation owe the Creator? Glory and honor and power. Or in other words, to say it a different way, come, let us adore him. You see, that's what it means to be a Christian. Jesus, the Word become flesh, is to now be worshipped as the Creator. You see, he is not just another man in the long line of men who have spoken from God. No, he is radically and gloriously special. Light and life are found in him. Everything finds its origin in him. All of us owe everything to him. And so the question for us, brothers and sisters, is this. Have we come to adore Jesus? Do we know what it means to have gone from being an enemy of God to now being a child of God? Can I say, friends, if not, well, now is the time to work it out. I mean, chat to Bruce, chat to myself, chat to Nick or to the friend who brought you along today. I mean, Christmas is such a wonderful time for you to work these things out because what we're celebrating is the God of the universe become man so that you could become a child of God. And so don't leave without doing something about this. All right, that's the first one. Adoration is part of what it means to be a Christian. And then lastly, adoration is the key to persevering as a Christian. Right? Adoration is the key to persevering as a Christian. Brothers and sisters, for some of us coming up to the end of this year, we're just feeling the weariness of living as a Christian. I mean, maybe for some of us, we're feeling like we're just hanging on to our faith by a thread. I mean, we know, of course, that there are good things about following Jesus. But for many of us, for a while now, all we've really experienced are the hard things, the really hard things about being a Christian. For some of us, our relationships with our families and our friends have been strained by our faith in Christ. Some of us have been overlooked for promotions at work because we choose to stand out as a Christian in the workplace. Some of us have increased tensions in our marriage because we're trying to honor Jesus in marriage, and it's hard. Some of us have been excluded from social gatherings with people that we love. Some of us have had to endure the agony of watching loved ones suffer and even die. Some of us are constantly feeling the guilt and the shame of sin that we've been battling for years and years now. And the list just goes on and on. And so if it's really this hard, if being a Christian involves this kind of suffering, then why do it? Why do we keep holding on? Well, friends, John's answer to that question is rather simple, but I've got to admit, it's incredibly profound. You see, the reason is Jesus. Now, how do we keep holding on? Well, we keep looking to Jesus. We come and adore him. You see, the answer isn't to work smarter or try harder. The answer is to consider Christ. To see the one described here in these opening verses of John. To take my eyes off of my suffering and to put them on the one who is greater than them all. To see the Jesus who makes you fall on your face in awe and wonder. The Jesus who made all things. Who sustains all things. Who is making all things new. The Jesus who left the glory of his heavenly home behind and became a man for you. You see, you look to that Jesus and know that he is worth it. And so, brothers and sisters, whatever pain, whatever hardship or struggle or despair we face in this life, as horrible and as unbearable as it might feel right now, we can know that it is nothing, nothing compared to the glory that we share with him for all eternity. We can know the glory of the one who made all things and has made us children of God. So can I say again, friends, if you feel like you're holding on by just a thread, come back and read these verses in John chapter 1 and see again the glorious word become flesh and let him be your strength. Brothers and sisters, oh come, let us adore him. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for these glorious words of yours that show us how incredible our Lord Jesus really is. Father, please would you grant that the vision of Jesus that John paints for us here, would you grant that this would captivate our hearts and our minds so that whether we're doing well in our faith or whether we're just hanging on, we pray that it would be Jesus who would captivate us and who would be our strength to keep pressing on. Father, please would you do a mighty work in us. Would you grow us in love and adoration of you and of the glorious Word who became flesh? Would you prepare our hearts for this Christmas season, and would you grant that many more in our church family and beyond will be brought into your kingdom and know the glorious blessing of new creation in becoming your children by Jesus' powerful work. And Father, these things we pray in Jesus' name.